But every song that Meth was on, he rapped like he started rapping 10 minutes ago and he had something to prove.
Yes.
Like, he was killing it. Yeah. But I didn't think anybody else was killing it.
But Redman did.
Well,
it's Redman.
Redman has no choice.
Redman's gonna do Redman.
These white chicks love me like Starbucks. It's like, Redman has no choice but to rap well.
Alright, Dead in Hip Hop, album review, Cunning Linguist, Rose, Azura, and Janu?
Is that how you say Spanish?
That is not Spanish.
Azura? That's not Spanish?
Nah, he's talking about the last word.
The last word. And Janu? I don't know, maybe. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I know, I already know y'all gonna correct us. We had the pleasure, all of us, a couple years ago to see these guys actually put in work in the studio. I think that was one of the coolest experiences that we had. So if you don't know, go back, check out Dead Hip Hop, the joint mix that we put out. We got footage behind the scenes. That was dope. Natty, No, and Deke the Villain, man, those guys have a chemistry that, you know, it is, you rarely see in hip hop. It wasn't like an upbeat album, so it doesn't really display how crazy these guys can be in person, because these guys are fucking hilarious. I'm telling you, these guys are characters. But this album was really, 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 really good. And their intro track, Red, White, and Blues, definitely set the tone for the entire project. It was definitely smooth, jazzy, more laid back with grown man content. And that's the thing I took away from this thing primarily. Riot was dope, which is the second track. Violet, The Upper Room, Gone featuring Triz. And I think that was one of my favorite beats.
The Upper Room, that's from Life, right?
Yeah.
The Upper Room. Plus, I'm singing that much. The Upper Room.
I had a question for you guys, because I listened to track 7 and 8, Mr. Morganfield and Miss Waters, and Jimmy and Andre, A side, B side. I was kind of confused as to what, like,
the relationship was.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like. Huh?
I'm not sure. I mean, musically, they both had like the beat switches after the verses or whatever. And as much as I read the lyrics, I never really put it together. So
yeah.
I'm not sure.
It just kind of stood out because, you know, you have A side, B side, two names. And then I'm like, okay, so
switches.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, this must mean something.
Yeah. Because I think the album itself is like about like black music. And like the path of black music, and I think Jimi Hendrix, then he talked about Purple, Prince, Andre, I would imagine it's Andre 3000, yeah. So rock, soul, hip hop, and if I could remember what Morganfield and Miss Waters was about, maybe they are connected. So maybe A-side is like early blues or
some old names we wouldn't just need.
Yeah, something like that. And then you switch over to the B side and how music manifested from that to rock, soul, and hip hop.
Maybe Miss Waters is Muddy Waters' mama.
I think there was,
was a reference to there was a muddy line. I think, is that the one when he's talking about Mississippi, Louisiana, something like that? And that one too, so, because the last track is basically like, I think when they kind of bring it all together. But yeah, I think this is actually like, Rose represents music, and like some of these songs are kind of embodying that, or personifying music through her eyes, or something like that.
Thank you, philosophical Ken. Thank you for the breakdown, because I definitely didn't get on that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it didn't compute like that for me when I was listening to this. For me, when I was listening to this, you know, I thought like maybe there was gonna be like on a deeper level like that. It went over my head.
So red, blue, and yellow. So what's the connection? You had all this other shit. Now you
red could be violence, because there was the riot, there was riots,
and then Red Bird right after it.
Right.
It was about
holy shit.
Maybe we should listen to this longer. Because I was like you. I was like, okay, all these songs are dope, and it seems like there's like a social justice overtone to this. But I was like, I couldn't figure out what the title meant. I just picked up what the songs themselves were about.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I didn't pick up the overall arching idea of what the album meant.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, the way Ken broke it down, I listened to this several times. I didn't get that breakdown.
Ken Duke got me thinking, like, well, damn, yeah. Really? I just got, like, a lot of social commentary, you know. There like
some social, political.
Yeah.
Because the first three, like just, you know, going off of Ken's theory a little bit, right? The first three songs have, you know, either R or Red, right? Like, Riot, you can.
They were the Rosie P.
But right? Then, like the first song is Violet, and, you know, it's kind of purple. Red and blue equals purple.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think Ken might really be onto something.
Look, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah.
Listening to this shit, even though I know a while ago No said they were going to go back to, like, their old sound, which I don't know that I really got that from this. I get kind of the old vibe, but I think that No has just, he's progressed so much in his production style that these beats are just fucking amazing.
And
but
why does he get the credit he deserves?
I don't know. Because that's exactly what I'm about to say.
So underrated.
The second this shit started, the second Deacon started rapping, when he said, on the road to perdition, you might want to use my navigation system, my wisdom. The second that started, I was like,
and no production, especially when
Jesus
it got to
Christ, man.
When it got to when he got to that shit and the beats were switching up,
the second
and
the
different styles, I was like, ooh, and he was like having God different styles. Damn. I was like, damn, that's like some soulful southern boom bap type shit. But then he got on some up tempo, like some, I was like, damn,
then
what the
those
fuck?
Church organs, and
right?
Shit.
And then, I'm like, then he's switching and got some instrumentation going on. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, that you layered crazy that with those boom bap drums. Like, how you put that together? Like,
the track that did it for me was Redbird. When Redbird hit, I was like, oh my God. And then when they were done rapping, and then it was like right around maybe the 320 mark.
He remember the mark. Uh-oh.
Because every time I'm like, God damn. Because it's so fucking beautiful. And then the way that he, because there was a subtle like shift in like the track. And he had something on top of it. I don't know what the fuck he did. Or maybe because he wasn't rapping, maybe it was always there, maybe because the rapping dropped out, I could notice it more. And then it went to Gone. And how he slowly broke you out of the mood of that song. And then he went up tempo, so it started a little slow, and then he kind of walked you through like the change in tempo.
And the sample, like he was playing the sample.
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? Like, damn.
At least for me in the podcast that I've listened to, like you could kind of, you get their personality. You understand that they are multi-layered people.
Right.
Like they have definitely some depth to them, but to me I never heard the goofy side. You know what I'm saying? So seeing them in person, like these motherfuckers is some clowns.
They came in clowning.
Their first couple of albums were like that.
Yeah.
I think they kind of became a little bit more serious. Piece of Strength.
Piece of Strength, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's just who they are, man. But I think that also just speaks to how dope they are, like the versatility that they have.
Hustlers was dope.
Yeah. Oh, Hustlers.
That's shit about the dick being 16-bit.
Yeah, she's a real gamer, so she can call your bluff.
That scheme.
Yeah, that was dope. And I forget what song where Deacon had the line where he says, even sometimes a bird's view can't see the devil's details. Like, Jesus
Christ. Was that in the Way to Win?
That might have been, no, that might have been Red.
Because he said something like, you gotta, they duck because they fly in a V or some shit like, some.
It's not that song, but that part was dope.
I was like, ooh, shit, what the fuck?
You know what this does? This is like, when you meet dudes like this is one of those where it's like, dang, you rappers are just normal people.
Yeah.
Because they're such good writers that you expect them to come in and be like in sunglasses and have like leather pants or something.
They came through kicking and talking
they
shit.
They came through just acting like goofballs.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sitting down and writing songs, like these guys are super underrated.
Man. Yeah,
they are.
Super underrated.
You know what I thought about when I was listening to the first two tracks? I couldn't help but think about Keith Olbermann's tweet about political writing, some of the best political writing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you need to listen to this shit if you want to hear fucking, if you want to hear motherfucking that's poetic, that's writing some
poignant.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you just, I don't know what the fuck, stop listening to whatever the fuck you listening to.
Yeah, Skip Coon, like he do it too.
Yeah, like this is some excellent writing on this fucking album. Like the first two tracks, I was like, oh man, y'all speaking right to me, man. That's what I'm talking about. Get them. But I like that they didn't stay there, right?
Yeah.
That they shifted and it wasn't completely like heavy on the politics,
right,
or
right,
you know, the social issues. It was like, we're gonna kind of touch on it here and then we're gonna go here.
Get some story.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It was balanced really, really, yeah, really, really well.
Could have been heavier than what it was and they didn't keep it there, which right, was good. Because mm-hmm, it made it that much more enjoyable.
Mm. Yep. And then the sounds were balanced. Like you get the smooth, smooth, jazzy, mellow beats, and then you know it goes to like the hip hop shit, and then it kind of I like the Fife Dawg shit. I thought that was cool. The little beat change up, yeah, on that too. That was really, really dope. So it don't keep you in like one place. So it takes you up, takes you down, and it's just like,
yeah, it's like right there.
Fuck,
that's
man. Like, I don't know. It's incredible, man. It's just fucking incredible. Jason Coffey, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man.
Jason Coffey, man, and the way they ended that track with
like his Red White Blues
and him singing the America.
Yeah.
You speaking to me,
man? All right, favorite tracks.
Cool. My favorite tracks were Red White and Blues, Red Bird, Gone. I'm gonna say Hustle.
Red, White, and Blues, Gone, the two A-side, B-side tracks, Jimmy, Andre, Mr. Morganfield, and Miss Waters, Hustlers, and can I get one more?
Yeah, go
and,
ahead.
Violet.
Red, White, and Blues, Riot, Red Bird, Gimme Gone, Mr. Morganfield, and Mrs. Waters, and Jimmy and Andre.
I'm gonna say Red, White, and Blues, Red Bird, Gone, Mr. Morganfield, and Mrs. Waters. And shit, I think Earth to Venus. Mm. I like the way that wrapped up at the end. That's five, right?
That's about five, yeah. Sound about right.
If you watch it, I need to go back. I definitely need to go back and listen to all of your catalog. You know, definitely based off of what these guys are saying. But shit, like, ain't no advice I could really give you. Like, continue to do you, be great, continue to get better. This was a dope ass project. And I'm just gonna enjoy going back listening to, you know what I'm saying, you guys' discography.
Right. I mean, it's not always about advice, you know. It's appreciation. You know?
Yeah. Definitely appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Great work.
Yes, first of all, thank you for putting together another amazing project. Your production is amazes me how your production is still just going up another level, another level, another level. It's like, when I think you can't knock it out the park, you knock it out the park again with your production and just the layering and the instrumentation and everything is just like wonderful. Deacon Natty, y'all poets, man. I think people need to talk about you guys a lot more when it comes to not even just Southern MCs, just MCs in general. You know, I think y'all have to be talked about more, man. I'm just happy that you guys put together another amazing album and keep it up.
Thank you. This album is definitely much needed. I think the timing is right. I think with what's going on in the world, and I like that you guys addressed it without being preachy or overbearing. You're just speaking to just the things that you're seeing and the times that we're in. I agree with B, definitely poets know the production is immaculate as always. And yeah, man, I'll just stop there. Yeah, very, very, very good job, guys. And I appreciate the album.
Yeah, this album is definitely up there with some of the best work to come out this year. You know, you get better and better with every album. Deacon and Natty, you just solidified yourselves as incredibly underrated. And yeah, you know, part of that's probably people like us. It's our fault for not talking about y'all more. So we're gonna try to change that today, starting today and moving forward. But yes, this is an incredible album. I'm glad y'all put it out. I enjoyed every minute of it. So I can't wait to see what in the hell y'all are gonna do next.